Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking the time today to join in this short information session on the upcoming LPN vote. This is Mike Gold, and I'm the Communications Director for the Hospital Employees Union and your host for tonight's special vote information meeting for LPNs from across the province. This won't be a full-length telephone town hall like we posted in the past. Tonight's session will be shorter. We'll be focusing on the recent Labor Board decision that set in motion the upcoming vote among LPNs. And we'll go through the voting process so that LPNs understand what's involved before their ballots start arriving next week. With me tonight is one of our guest speakers, Jackie DiAguayo, HU's Chief Legal Counsel and the Assistant Secretary Business Manager. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Mike, and a big hello to those LPNs who are joining this special information session about the representation vote.
Thanks, Jackie. In a minute, Jackie will provide more details about the May 9th Labor Relations Board decision that triggered the vote. Jackie, it's hard to believe that by next Monday, it will have been 6 months since the BCNU filed its rate applications.
Yes, indeed, and it took a very long time for the board to review the BCNU's applications, Mike, and it certainly underscores the significance of the decision before LPNs and the future of their independent nursing profession.
It certainly does that, so thanks for being here tonight, Jackie. For those of you just joining the event, that was HU's Chief Legal Counsel and Assistant Secretary Business Manager, Jackie DiAguayo. And folks, please remember this will be an interactive session tonight. To ask your questions about the LPN vote to Jackie, press 9 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. You'll also have a chance to leave a message for us at the end of this session. Once again, this is Mike Gold, HU's Communications Director, and I'm your host for tonight's special vote info meeting, and you have just joined our event. Jackie, while we're waiting for more LPNs to join the call, can you give those listening a quick update on the Labor Relations Board decision?
Sure. 2 weeks ago, the Labor Relations Board or the LRB ordered a vote for 6 out of 7 of BCNU's rate applications. Because the BCNU applied separately for each health authority and Providence Healthcare, LPNs are going to be taking part in separate votes, which could have different outcomes.
Okay, so to be clear, LPNs will not be voting in a province-wide ballot, and in order to be eligible to vote, they have to work directly for one of the 5 regional health authorities or for Providence Healthcare.
That's right, and it's important to know that BCNU, with the exception of Providence Healthcare, did not apply for LPNs working as affiliate employers, and they make up about 30% of LPN work sites. And in addition, the LRB dismissed their application for LPNs working for the Provincial Health Services Authority. So to be clear, affiliate employers are those that are covered by the facilities agreement, but are not run by the health authorities directly. So mostly there are the not-for-profit and the for-profit care facilities in the health sector.
Okay, thanks for that explanation, Jackie. And as soon as everyone has joined the call, we'll go straight to your live on-air questions. Remember, if you'd like to ask a question about the LPN vote, press 9 on your phone right now to get in the queue and get on air. While we wait for the last few members to join the event, let me introduce our second guest speaker on tonight's call, and that's Joanne Dickey. She's from our LPN team and was also the chair of the Provincial Bargaining Committee in 2010.
Hi, Mike, and hello to the hundreds of LPNs on the call.
Thank you, Joanne. And before the call, you were telling me that LPN questions about the rate have spiked dramatically since the vote was ordered.
Yes, they have indeed. HU's LPN Advisory Committee members are getting many calls and emails about the vote now that it's finally being scheduled.
And what are you hearing from LPNs about the decision?
Well, just to pick up from Jackie's comments, I'd say that LPNs are very concerned about being divided as a result of this upcoming vote. It's not just becoming divided into different unions that concerns them. They don't want their profession to be fragmented because of this rate. So LPNs are looking for the facts because they want to make an informed choice and keep their independent profession united.
Thanks, Joanne. For those of you just joining our conversation, this is your host, HU Communications Director Mike Old. And that was Joanne Dickey from our LPN team before me, and before her was Jackie DiAguayo, our Assistant Secretary of Business Manager and our Chief Legal Counsel. We are still calling LPNs from all over the province, and they are joining the session as we speak. We'll be going to live on-air questions from our LPN members in a couple of minutes. If you have a question about the vote, please press 9 on your phone to speak on the call. While we wait for more LPNs to join the event, let me introduce another guest speaker on tonight's call. It's HU's LPN team leader, Maura Kerwin. Good evening, Maura, and welcome to this special LPN vote info session.
Thanks, Mike, and hello to everyone on the call.
Maura, I know you've been speaking to LPNs a lot since the LRB made its decision on May 9th. What are they asking you about the vote?
Well, Mike, the question I'm getting mostly is how can I make sure that my voice is heard in this vote? That's what LPNs are asking me the most.
You know, I'm sure we're getting lots of questions like that about the voting process. How does it work?
Well, as people probably know, the Labor Board or the LRB finalized the terms of the vote last week. And LPNs who are eligible to vote will receive a ballot package from the Employment Standards Branch of the Ministry of Labor that will be mailed next Monday on May the 28th. And the voting period goes from May 28th until June the 25th. That means LPNs will receive the voting package at their homes within a few days. And that's really important because unlike the raid period last fall, LPNs will be able to cast their vote in the comfort and the privacy of their own home and then return their ballot by mail. It's very important that LPNs follow the ballot instructions included in the package, and they should follow those instructions very carefully. They might seem a bit complicated, but they're really designed to protect your right to a secret ballot.
Thanks, Maura. I expect we'll get to some more questions about the voting process later in the call. That was HU's LPN leader, team leader Mark Kerwin. And once again, this is HU's Communications Director, Mike Gold, your host for tonight's live info meeting with Maura, Jackie DiAguayo, and Joanne Dickey. Our focus tonight is on the LRB decision and the voting process. Jackie, did the board decision clear up any of the confusion about what collective agreement covers LPNs?
In this respect, Mike, the LRB was very clear. LPNs will continue to be in the facilities subsector and under the same collective agreement no matter what the outcome of the vote. And it's never been about a change to LPNs' bargaining situation. What could change is that the BCNU could deal with day-to-day grievances, but it's still the Facilities Bargaining Association, with HU as the lead union, that will continue to lead negotiations for your collective agreement.
Thanks for that information, Jackie. That was Jackie DiAguayo, HU's Assistant Secretary Business Manager. She's here with Maura Kerwin and Joanne Dickey from our LPN team to answer your questions about the LPN vote. When things get underway shortly here, you can pose a question for any of our guests by pressing 9 on your phone. And I see that we've got more than 1,400 participants on the phone at this time. This is Hospital Employees Union Communications Director Mike Gold, your host for tonight's special vote info session, and we want to hear from you tonight. So let's go to our first question now. We have a call from an LPN on the island. This is Carol, and Carol has a question about how do you decide who wins the vote. So Carol, what is your question for Maura?
Well, I'm just a bit confused about, like, when all the votes are in to the Labor Relations Board. Who actually decides who wins the vote?
Carol, that's probably a really, really important question, and I know that I've had many questions about that in the last couple of weeks. So, as Jackie has said, each vote will be counted separately, because each of the applications is dealt with separately. So there'll be 6 counts. And unlike the card signing last fall, which was based on 50% plus 1 of all eligible voters, that is all eligible LPNs in an individual health authority or in Providence Healthcare, the vote count is based on a simple majority of LPNs who cast their ballots in each individual application or in each individual health authority. And so if BCNU were successful, all the LPNs in a particular health authority would be transferred into that organization, regardless of how you voted. So it's very important that LPNs cast their ballot. If they don't, it essentially means that somebody else is making the decision for them, because it will be based on a simple majority of the number of LPNs who cast their ballots. So I hope that helps.
Thanks for that, Maura, and thanks for that question from Vancouver Island from Carol. We're going to go now to, actually, we're going to go back to Vancouver Island. We have a question from Philomena about why we're having a vote this time. Philomena, what's your question for Maura?
So I got the impression that we were still going to be under the HAU bargaining despite what happened with this vote. But after the last question, it sounded as though if one health authority voted in favor of HAU, we would be fragmented. Is that true?
Yes, it absolutely is true. So as people have explained and as we've talked about with LPNs, each of the so the ECNU made six separate applications for LPNs, the five health authorities plus Providence Healthcare. So when the board ordered the vote, they ordered a vote in each of those individual health authorities. And so the vote will be based on, you know, the outcome in each of the applications. And so it is possible that you could have some LPNs in one health authority voting to stay with HU and other LPNs choosing to go with the BCNU. But regardless of the outcome of the vote, and I know this is a bit complicated, but regardless of the outcome of the vote, LPNs will still be covered by the Facilities Collective Agreement, but they could potentially be represented by different unions. So the fragmentation of the profession is a very, very serious concern, I think, for LPNs. So I hope that helps clarify things a little bit.
Okay. Thank you, Maura, and thanks to Philomena from Sydney for that call. We've got more than 1,700 participants now on our call tonight, and some of them may have missed the beginning part of our session, but we'll try and get back to some of the issues that we covered early on. We'll also have an opportunity for you to let us know if you'd like someone from our LPN team to call you back later, and I'll tell you how to do that in a second. I also want to remind you that I'm HU Communications Director Mike Gold. I'm your host for tonight's LPN Vote Info session. If you have a question for either HU's Chief Legal Counsel, Jackie DiGuayo, who's also our Assistant Secretary Business Manager, or Maura Kerwin or Joanne Dickey from our LPN team, you can press 9 to get in the queue to ask a call. We're gonna go to another caller. This time it's Jamie. Jamie's from Coldstream, and he has a question that I'll put to Jackie DiGuayo. So, Jamie, what's your question for Jackie?
My question tonight is, I've been told different things by each side from HAU and BCNU. If it depends. If we stay with HAU or we go to BCNU and BCNU wins this vote, who's going to be doing our bargaining for this contract talk? Like, say, BCNU gets the vote. Is HAU going to be bargaining for us, or will BCNU be bargaining for us?
That's a great question, Jamie, and thanks for that. I'm sure that many LPNs have the same question. And it does get a little bit complicated because the BCNU did file separate applications, which means the outcome for each health authority or Providence could be a different one. And I think it's important to understand that there's a difference between who deals with your day-to-day grievances and how the bargaining process happens. And bargaining in the facility subsector is an association, so it means all of the unions that represent members in the facilities subsector bargain together at the table. But the law requires that the largest union in that association, which is the HEU, maintains a majority so that they essentially have the final say, if you want to call it that. So regardless of what happens, and it is a possibility that the profession could be further fragmented, I point out that it already has been by the NU applications because they did leave out 30% of the work sites covered by the collective agreement. But at the end of the day, at the bargaining table, it will be
all of the unions, but the HEU is the majority union doing the negotiations. And then once an agreement is ratified and it comes into effect, then it is the union that is representing you that will do the day-to-day administration of that collective agreement. I hope that answers your question.
Okay, thank you, Jackie, for that answer, and of course to Jamie for that question. Jamie's from Coldstream. Before we go to our next caller question, I'm just going to note that we're getting a lot of calls here about this issue, but some of you may have some other issues you'd like to speak privately with a member of our LPN advisory committee about, and I just want to let you know that if you'd like, you can just let us know by pressing a number on your phone that you'd like someone to give you a call back and have a conversation with you. So if you haven't made a decision about how you're voting, or if you have a question about how this vote will impact the future of LPN's independent profession, you can speak to a fellow LPN. If you'd like someone to get back to you, just press 1 right now on your phone, and our system will just record your number and somebody will call you back. So again, just press 1 on your phone right now if you'd like to speak to another LPN from HEU about the vote. And I'll remind you that you can always visit www.lpnsvotehu.org to learn more about what's at stake for LPNs in this vote. So we're going to go back to the lines here. We're going back to the island, actually. We're going to talk to Elizabeth. And do we have Elizabeth there? Yes, we've got a call from Elizabeth. I'm going to put Elizabeth's call to Maura. Elizabeth, what's your question? Elizabeth?
Is that Trudy there?
Trudy, you know what? Yeah. I've been misinformed by the little slip of paper that was sent to me, so I'm sorry about that. Trudy, what's your question?
My question is, I've been on long-term disability since 2012, but I remain active with our local. And I'm wondering if, because I'm on long-term disability, will I still be able to vote?
So in terms of, you know, who's on the eligible voters list, the Employment Standards Branch of the Ministry of Labor actually put together the tentative voters list. And, you know, all the parties, us, the employers, BCNU, the other unions involved, have all put forward a list that we believe to be for all of our eligible voters. But as I said, the list is finalized by the Employment Standards Branch of the Ministry of Labor. And they will make the final determination about who is eligible. And issues like people who have been on long-term disability and people who may be on extended leaves of absence, that sort of question, will be finally decided by the board. So if anybody does not receive a ballot when they think they should, after they go out on May the 28th, people should either contact us and we'll put you in touch with the Employment Standards Branch, or you can call them directly to say that you haven't received a ballot and they will send you one out. So, you know, Trudy, I know that's a question that many people have, but there's not a simple answer to it because the board will make that final determination. But we've tried to ensure that our lists are as accurate as they possibly can. So I know that's not a sort of a definitive answer, but that's kind of the way that it works.
Okay, thanks, Maura, and sorry, Trudy, for the mix-up there, calling you Elizabeth, but I'm glad you called in tonight. I've got another call here now I'm just going to let Carrie from Grasmere ask his question, and I think I'm going to ask Carrie to ask his question to Maura. So go ahead, Carrie, what's your question for Maura? Carrie, sorry, if you could just start your question again. I don't think we got you on there in time.
Okay, are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
If there's an RN that is unable to get a job as a RN,
and wants to challenge the LPN scope, which I'm sure she can she get into an LPN job and take it as an since we're in the same union?
So, Carrie, that question comes back to the issue around which collective agreement will you be covered by regardless of the outcome. So currently, obviously, all of the registered nurses and psychiatric nurses are covered by the Nurses Bargaining Association and the Nurses Collective Agreement. And that's a distinct unit of employees. And then LPNs are covered by the Facility Sector Collective Agreement, amongst many other classifications. And regardless of the outcome, LPNs would remain in the Facility Sector Collective Agreement. But, potentially BCNU could be representing some of the LPNs. So a registered nurse cannot apply for a job in the Facilities Bargaining Association because it's not the collective agreement that they're in. So the short answer is no, they wouldn't be able to simply, even if they challenged exam, simply apply for a job and get it in the Facility Sector Collective Agreement. If they wanted to work in the Facility Sector Collective Agreement, they would essentially have to apply as if they were a new employee to work, for the employer in that collective agreement. So the short answer is no, they wouldn't be able to do that. I hope that helps.
Okay, that's great, Maura. Thank you for that, and thanks to our LPN member Carrie from Grasmere, who asked that important and slightly complicated question. Now I'd like to go to the interior, to Peachland, and this will be a question for Joanne. It's a question from Lisa about staying with the HU and what that means. So Lisa, what's your question for Joanne?
Yes, I'm just wondering what ATU can do for me that BCNU can't. I mean, what can you say to me to make me stay with ATU rather than go to BCNU?
Well, thank you for that, Lisa. I talk about this pretty much every day because it's a very, very important question. I think what's compelling or what LPNs need to know about the reason for staying with HU is the fact that we have had a plan for the future of LPNs, and I am one. I've been one for 30 years. We have a plan, and we've been sticking with that plan since 2006 when it was developed through the policy table discussions. And we are partway there. We've done a lot of work. I'm sure everybody on the call has heard this 1,000 times, and if you haven't, it's important that you do know. We've increased utilization of LPNs tremendously through our discussions with government, convincing employers that LPNs have the competencies to take on roles where they currently are not being utilized. We've got them in advanced practice roles. We've got people in clinical areas that have been traditionally RN, staff. And, the next part of our plan is really about workplace, changing the workplace culture and change management. That's where we are today. And that's a very important piece because that's the work that needs to be done on the units where you and I work. We need to have discussions with managers on the front lines and with your PCCs and your CNEs and, When I ask BCNU or when I ask other LPNs to ask BCNU what their vision is for the future of our profession, I don't hear anything. I hear, if you join our union, we'll train you to become an RN. And you know what? RNs are not really the answer for the healthcare system, I don't think. I think LPNs have a huge, important role to play. So, that's why I think it's important for LPNs to stay in HU. We have a plan. We're in the middle of that plan, and now is not the time to be tossing it just when we're starting to sort of reap the benefits. Thank you, Lisa, for your
question. Okay, Joanne, that's a great answer, and thank you for that excellent question from Lisa in Peachland. We're going to go back to the island now, and this is a question that's going to go to Jackie. It's from Douglas in Victoria. About Well, I'll just let Douglas ask his question. Douglas, what's your question for Jackie?
My question to Jackie is, I've been an LPN for 37 years. What happens if we divide?
Well, that seems to be the question that's on the mind of virtually all of the LPNs that we've been speaking to during the course of the raid by BCNU. At the end of the day, the division of the practice is really going to undermine the vision that Joanne was just talking about, that HEU, you know, we've more than doubled the number of LPNs in the healthcare system in the last 10 years. And a lot of our capacity to do that is that we represent a united profession and an independent profession. And so, you know, our concern is that LPNs are able to get the facts about all of the hard work that we have done on behalf of LPNs and expanding their scope of practice and maintaining that independence and trying to talk to LPNs about the fact that, as Joanne said, BCNU has been completely unable to articulate a vision for LPN practice in the delivery of healthcare. And in fact, the only thing that the BCNU has been very concrete on the record about in terms of LPN practice is that they don't want to see scope of practice expanded. So I think you're right to be very concerned about what will happen if the profession is divided. What it will do is it will weaken the very strong voice that has moved LPNs forward in the province of British Columbia in terms of utilization and scope of practice. And that's why, you know, we're going to be out there over the coming weeks really encouraging LPNs to get the facts and to vote. Because as Moira said at the beginning, to not vote is essentially to lose your voice. And we want to make sure that all of the LPNs like you that are out there concerned about the splintering of the profession and the isolation of LPNs one from the other is stopped. And the best way to do that is for our LPNs to fill in that ballot and mail it in and have their voice heard. So thank you so much for your question.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie. And thanks for that question from Douglas in Victoria. We've got a few people waiting to ask questions. We have a brief session scheduled for tonight, but we may extend it for a few minutes. I just want to tell you that if you want to ask a question, all you need to do is press 9 on your telephone keypad, and you'll be put in the queue. This is your host for tonight's LPN Vote Info Session, HEU Communications Director Mike Gold. I also know that some of you may want to have a confidential one-on-one conversation with a member of our LPN team. And if you'd like to do that, all you need to do is press 1 on your keypad, and will record your telephone information and someone will give you a call back. So all you have to do is press 1 on your keypad. We're going to go to the Lower Mainland now, and we have a question from Loretta in Burnaby, and I'm going to put this question to Maura. So Loretta, what's your question for Maura?
Hi. My question is, with this regional vote, how is that going to affect our seniority and our ability to move and apply to, for different positions in other senior, in other areas?
Thanks, Loretta, for that question. So, as you probably know, we have gone now to a sort of a regional seniority basis. So, LPNs mm-hmm. in each health authorities have regional seniority. And again, there's a lot of questions sort of coming back to this issue around which collective agreement you're covered by. So seniority is sort of a function of your collective agreement. Your service is with your employer, but your seniority is based on your collective agreement. So even if LPNs were fragmented as a result of the vote, your seniority would still remain the same, and it would remain within the same region. So, and because the vote is by region, so if you're in Burnaby, you're part of the Fraser Health. If Fraser Health voted to stay with HEU, your seniority would still be with HEU, and your seniority would still be with the collective agreement, and you could move around Burnaby freely. But, you know, if LPNs over in Vancouver Coastal went to BCNU, you know, their collective agreement wouldn't change, their seniority wouldn't change either, because they would still be covered by the facility's collective agreement.
They could still use their seniority to move around that particular health authority, but the BCNU would be the union that they'd be paying union dues to. So in essence, it won't change your seniority or how you utilize your seniority within your health authority.
Okay, thank you.
That question.
Yeah, that's great, Maura. Thank you very much. And thanks to Loretta from Burnaby for asking it. We're going to go up north now, or should I say central BC, to Prince George. And we have a question from Margot, and I'll put this message. Margot, what's your question to Joanne?
Hi, it's Margo. I'm up here in Vanderhoof. I was informed just today that there's a meeting with information supposed to be on Thursday evening, tomorrow evening, in Prince George, and I have no information about it. I was wondering if you knew anything about it. It was supposed to be a question and answer period with regards to this matter.
Yes, Maura. We are, there are a few of us coming to Prince George area tomorrow, and a dinner meeting is going to be held at a restaurant just inside Prince George. I know that a number of calls went out probably to Prince George Hospital itself and some of the close long-term care facilities. I think there's Gateway and maybe one other. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with all of the facilities up there. Certainly, if, you know, we didn't call to the places that were too far away just because geographically we weren't sure how far people would travel, but if you'd be interested in attending, by all means, I can send you the information. We're also going to be in the Prince George area for a few days until Sunday, so you know, if you are close by, you're certainly welcome to come by and with myself or any other advisory committee member that will be there.
Thank you, Joanne, and thanks to Margot from Vanderhoof, not Prince George. Thanks for the call. We're going to go back to the island. A lot of callers from the island tonight. This is a question that I'll also put to Joanne about our plan. It's a question from Monica from Port Alberni. Monica, what's your question for Joanne?
Hi, Joanne. We heard a lot about HEU having a plan for LPNs, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on that plan.
Sure, Monica, I can. I think I just went into it in a fair bit of detail, so I hope that I won't repeat myself. I know, as I was saying moments ago, that, you know, we developed a plan in 2006 during our policy discussions with Government Health Human Resource Planning Department, as well as members from each of the health authorities, particularly the chief nursing officers, where we had a lot of discussions about utilization of LPNs generally, and as well as LPNs working in specialty areas and taking on advanced practice roles. So so that I can add something different to what I said a few moments ago, I mean, we felt so strongly about LPNs being utilized in areas where they were underutilized, that when we negotiated funding in 2010, that $2.5 million, we said to health employers that we will give you this money, but it has to be spent in the five specialty areas where we believed LPN utilization could be greater. So those were maternity, emergency, mental health, OR, ER. We developed a plan in 2006. We're probably about two-thirds of the way through that plan. And the very important piece that we are just beginning to do some work on is about workplace culture and change management. So that's the piece that, really involves clinical nurse educators and management on the floor, LPNs on the units, and how are we going to change the culture, because we now have government and health employers believing in what we've been promoting, and that being that LPNs have the competencies to work in these areas. So we need to do some work now on the ground. And, I feel very passionately about the risk of throwing that all away. And If you want more information about it, we've got reports that have been written throughout our discussions from 2006 to this point, and we can certainly get those out to you or anybody else who might be interested in a lot more detail, and then I can go into it. Thank you, Monica.
And thank you, Joanne, and to Monica in Port Alberni for that question.
Mike, could I just add something to that? Sorry.
Mara, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. I mean, in terms of the plan, we've just developed a new paper as well regarding the plan for LPNs in the future, which we will be posting on our website very shortly, or people can get it from us here at the provincial office. So if people are interested in getting a copy of that document, they should contact us, and we'll make sure that they get a copy, because it outlines in some detail, you know, what we've done over the last few years and what we have planned for the future, most of which actually sort of preceded FADE. So I just wanted to let people know that's available.
Great. Thanks, Maura and Joanne and Monica for that discussion. I'd just like to go back to Jackie DiGuayo for a moment. Jackie, who's our Chief Legal Counsel and our Assistant Secretary of Future. Jackie, some of the questions that have come up was about what the Labor Board said when they looked at the issue that was put in front of them, which was whether or not BCNU had represented itself to LPNs during the raid, especially on the issue of their so-called no-risk guarantee. What did the Board conclude?
Well, thanks, Mike. That's actually a really important thing to clarify for LPNs. The Vice Chair of the Labor Relations Board was very clear in her decision that BCNU's claims about a no-risk guarantee where they promised that LPNs could vote to leave the BCNU if they were unhappy, so it's sort of one of those try-us-out offers, were quote-unquote inaccurate. And she also found that BCNU's claims that it would have an LPN committee with the right to a final say before any future tentative agreements could be reached were also, as she said, quote-unquote, inaccurate. And, you know, the BCNU itself, in its submissions to the Labor Relations Board, acknowledged that these claims that it was making were little more than what it called puffery, and that it's interesting, really, that nearly 2 weeks after the Board decision, they really haven't stopped making the same inaccurate claims to LPNs. But I think the most interesting and important part is that despite these inaccuracies, the Labor Relations Board expressed its faith in LPN's ability to see right through that puffery, to go and get the facts, and to make an informed decision. And, you know, the number of calls that we've had tonight on this town hall with people interested in getting those facts, the types of questions we've been getting, and the types of questions and conversations we've been having in the field when we're talking to LPNs demonstrates that the board's faith in LPNs is absolutely well placed, because they are trying to get the facts and they will ultimately make an informed decision.
Okay, thanks for that, Jackie. That's a really important issue, and many LPNs have been asking about that. You know, if LPNs want to get more information, they should remember that they can go to a website, www.lpnsvotehu.org, and we have lots of information there about our record, other information that might be handy. We're going to go to another call now from the West Kootenays. We've got a call from an LPN member, Evelyn in Castlegar. We're going to put this question to Maura. And Evelyn, what's your question to Maura? Evelyn, have I got the name of your city wrong? It might be Coldstream. I'm an awful reader.
Yes, it's Evan. It's Coldstream.
Sorry about that.
Hello?
What's your question?
I'm wondering if HU has been able to do any tracking or for the demographics of LPNs that are interested in joining BCNU. In my hospital, I find the majority are young LPNs, and they have absolutely no clue about the history with BCNU, and in fact, any history with how LPNs have been treated back in the 70s when we had our skills taken away from us. RNs many RNs are really, really not happy with the fact that our skills have been increased. And it seems that the young ones don't get it, although there are also some older LPNs in my hospital as well that are adamant about joining BCNU. But I know that I've tried to do my part in educating them about the history, but for some reason they're being sucked into this void. So I have concerns about my hospital. Have you done any of that kind of tracking?
Well, thanks Evelyn for that. I mean, and really I think in a way your question goes to the sort of real heart of the issue. And certainly we have talked to thousands of LPNs over the last few months and really over the last 3 years, because of course this is the second raid that the first one failed. And we do know from all of our conversations with LPNs that the majority of LPNs who have decided are staying with HEU. People have been very clear with us about that, that they want to stay in HEU. They don't want their profession to be divided. And many, many LPNs understand that there is very serious risk in going to the BCNU for your profession, based on the fact that, you know, BCNU really has no plan for LPNs as a sort of a professional autonomous group. And HEU does have a plan, which Joanne has outlined. And, of course, many LPNs have been in the system for a few years will know about the number of LPNs that lost their jobs in the 80s as a direct result of some of the policies of employers and supported by the BCNU at that time, where they were threatened by LPNs' growth. And we think that's really what this raid is about now, that the BCNU is threatened by the growth of LPNs, as Jackie said earlier. The number of LPNs has almost doubled in the last 10 years. LPNs are taking on new roles and responsibilities. Utilization is growing. We're having really productive discussions with health employers and government about the role of LPNs in the healthcare system. And, you know, that is really at its heart what this raid is about. But as I said, LPNs tell us that they want to stay with HEU. They believe that the union will continue to advocate for their profession. But, you know, there are lots of LPNs who, as you say, are new to the system, who perhaps feel attracted by the nurse plus nurse moniker and, you know, feel that sort of makes sense. And so it's really incumbent upon all of us to try and get the message out to those younger grads who perhaps don't have the experience, perhaps haven't taken the time to research the issue about what's at risk. So I know it's a big challenge and I know it's difficult for all of us, but really in a way this might be one of the most important decisions LPNs make for their profession. And so we're trying to reach out as many LPNs as we can, and we would ask you to continue to do the same, although obviously, Evelyn, you've already been doing a lot of that. But, you know, I do want to say LPNs who have decided have told us that they're staying with HU, and we hope that they'll get out and vote and make their voices heard.
Thanks, Maura. And sorry about the mix-up, Evelyn. I'm getting different slips of paper passed to me, and I don't always read them right. But just correct my mistake, and this time we're going to go to Castlegar. We're actually going to go to Castlegar. We have a question from Jeanette about seniority. And, Maura, I'm going to put this question back to you. So, Jeanette, what's your question for Maura?
You know what? I think my question was already answered a few questions back. It was just basically dealing with how and where our seniority goes once, you know, if we go to BCNU.
Maura, are you there?
I'm sorry. Sorry about that little technical problem there. I think Jeanette alluded to the fact that I had sort of responded to this once before. So your seniority remains with your collective agreement, and because there is no, regardless of the outcome,
your collective agreement won't change, your terms and conditions of employment won't change, you won't go into the BCNU registered nurses collective agreement, you'll stay with the facilities collective, and so your seniority will remain the same. Mike?
Thanks, Maura, and thanks for Jeanette for that question from Castlegar. We've come to the end of our telephone town hall. I'd like to thank all our callers who took some time out of their busy evenings tonight to participate in our information session. We'll look for more opportunities to get information out to LPN so that they can make an informed vote. I'd like to thank our guests, Jackie DiGuayo, Mark Kerwin, and Joanne Dickey for contributing to this information session. Big thanks to all of you. There were almost 1,800 LPNs who, at its peak, took part in this call this evening. I'll remind you that if you have a message or a question, you can leave it at the end of this call. So before we sign off, let me remind you one more time that there is a lot of information out there about why HEU is the best union for LPNs. A good place to start is at our website, www.lpnsvotehu.org. There you can learn about HEU's record of achievement for LPNs, read testimonials from LPN leaders, or get more details about the voting process. And don't forget, please leave any messages you might have after I end this call. So thank you all for joining us, and have a very good night.